Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
You have heard it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So don't retaliate. Don't return a slap for a slap. Don't return an insult for an insult, or a cold shoulder for a cold shoulder, or a bad mood for a bad mood, or a sharp tone for a sharp tone. When someone is inconsiderate or towards us, or hurts us, or offends us in our flesh, we want to make them pay in some way. And Jesus says, don't. Don't. Now you might hear all that. You just think, you've got to be kidding me. You just expect me to just lie there and take it? Just do nothing? Never fight back? Never resist? Never flee? Just let it all happen to me and never respond? Never pay them back? No. No, you don't have to do that. That's not what I'm saying. That's going too far. In fact, you know what? Go ahead. Get some payback. It's all right. You can go ahead. Just pay them back for what they did to you. You should always pay them back. You say, you mean Jesus allows for that? Yeah, I really looked hard into this text, and I actually found a loophole in here that lets you pay them back. I did. Not only does Jesus allow some payback, he even gives us some specific examples of how to do it. How to pay the person back for what they did. One first example is in verse 39. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, how do you pay them back for an insult? Well, by giving them another opportunity to insult you. Verse 41, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, how do you pay someone back for that? Go with them 2 miles. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. They take your tunic, how do you pay them back? You give them your cloak. Jesus is calling for payback. He's calling for us to repay evil with what? Good. It is a war. It is a fight. We need to overcome evil with good, Romans 12:21. Now let's take the tunic one first. Back then, people basically wore 3 garments. You had your loincloth and then your tunic. They had a long shirt, kind of like a night shirt that was worn against the skin. That's the tunic. And then over that, they put a cloak, which doubled as a blanket at night. That kept them warm at night. You know, Jerusalem is a mile high, same altitude as here. It gets cold. And so it was actually, according to Exodus 22, illegal to take a cloak from a poor person. Even if you won a lawsuit against them, you could never take their cloak. You took it as a pledge, you had to give it back before nightfall because they needed that to keep warm at night. So to give up both your tunic and your cloak was going beyond what the law would ever allow. Nobody could take your cloak. You had the right to that. Jesus is saying, give up something that by law you have the right to. And you know something I never noticed before until this week when I was studying this again? Is in verse 40, it seems to me the person hasn't sued you yet. It says, if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic. They just want to. They haven't done it. No legal action has actually even taken place yet. The person just simply feels wronged by you, and they think that they have a case against you if they took you to court, and they would like to. It's not saying they did. They just feel wronged. And Jesus is saying, instead of fighting back, just settle up with him and settle up in a very generous, magnanimous way that gives more than he even thinks he deserves. Pay him back for what he did. Pay him back with generous love. And I'm sure all of us have done this at one time or another. You know what this is like. Someone feels wronged by you and you want to make things right. You want to restore this relationship. And so they say, what can I do? You say, what can I do to make things right? And they tell you, well, I think you owe me this or that. And you're so concerned about making things right, you give them way more than what they're asking for. Right? We've all done that. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And I don't think the point is to the literal cloak and tunic. I don't think we need to press it to too much literalism. That's pretty much all they wore. They had a loincloth and then a cloak and a tunic. So if you don't have a tunic on and you don't have a cloak on, you really don't have anything on. And I don't think Jesus is promoting nakedness here. He's just He's just saying if someone sues, basically it's like this. Someone sues you for the shirt off your back, give them your pants, too. Just take off your clothes and just give them to them. Jesus is simply using graphic speech to illustrate an overly generous attitude. I don't think he's wanting everyone to walk around their underwear. He's just saying when somebody asks you for something, even if it's extreme, give them even more. Do whatever you can possibly do to make things right. So how do you get payback? First example, Jesus says, is when it's an assault on your dignity, slap in the face, pay that person back with patience and continued friendship. Stay with them. When the second one is an assault not on your dignity, but on your property. When it's an assault on your property, taking the shirt off your back, pay that person back by giving more than what he feels you owe. Then Jesus gives a third example. This one's an assault not on your dignity or your property, but on your liberty. Your freedom. Verse 41, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And here they're forcing you. A Roman soldier, this is talking about a Roman situation. The Roman soldier had the right to commandeer whatever or whomever he wanted to carry his gear for him. And so in this example, Jesus is talking about being conscripted into some official public duty by a soldier. Walking 1 mile and back would take about 40 minutes. Typical person, I suppose. So can you imagine this? Can you imagine if this happened in our culture? Random forced labor by the government? You imagine how popular that policy would be? And then even just think about the Jews. I mean, think of an anti-American occupying force doing it, who had the authority to just commandeer you or your car or whatever, whenever they want, for whatever errand they want. I mean, you're just doing whatever you're doing. You're on your way to some important meeting. You're going somewhere because you need to get there. And all of a sudden, some soldier comes up and says, I need you to drive this package to Boulder. And she's like, Boulder? I don't have time to drive to Boulder. I'm busy. I got to go. I'm on my way to this meeting. You're on your way to jail if you don't take this package to Boulder right now. And you just have to do it. So you can imagine how the Jews felt about this arrangement with Rome. Now, there were some legal limits on the system. They usually didn't ask someone to walk 1 mile. In fact, 1 mile was the max amount by law that they could require. And so Jesus is giving an example here of a soldier who is pushing you to the absolute limit of the law in this forced labor deal. And you respond by voluntarily doubling it. Now, this, I think, is for some people the hardest one to swallow. The first one is an example of a hostile person slaps you in the face. Second one is an example of an offended person who feels wronged by you, thinks you owe him. But this third one is an authority. He's not necessarily angry with you. He's not hostile towards you. He didn't feel wronged by you. He's just a government official. He probably doesn't even know you, doesn't care about you. He's just making you do something. And I think for many people, this is the hardest one. There are some people who, if someone insults you, you can just let it roll right off your back. You can handle that. If someone feels wronged by you, you want to make that right. And you don't have any problem. You can understand and you graciously work things out and go give them the extra thing. But an authority figure infringing on your freedom just galls you to the core of your being. You know, there are some people just can't handle that. They just resent anybody ever telling them what to do. And again, it goes back to our God complex. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the master of my soul. I decide what I do, when I do it. I don't want anybody ever telling me what to do. And that's just an attitude absolutely antithetical to Christianity. At the center of the Christian faith is a king who requires that you bow the knee to his authority in humble submission. He has absolute authority, and all human authority is derived from his authority. That's why it takes a supernatural work of God for someone to even become a Christian, for someone to even be willing to come to Christ, because resenting authority is part of the fallen human condition. Children resist the authority of their parents. Wives chafe under the authority of their husbands. Men complain about their bosses at work. Church members ignore the authority of elders. Citizens resent the authority of the government. It's just we just want to be free from authority, and that's true even if it's a good authority commanding good things. But when it's an evil authority requiring oppressive things, that makes it that much harder, right? Rome was an extremely wicked and very oppressive authority, and Jesus says just volunteer to carry the soldier's pack double the distance that he requires, even if he's already pushing it to the limit of the law. Why? Why? I love this statement by T.W. Manson. He said, "The first mile renders to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The second mile renders to God the things that are God's." You do it for the Lord. Now, it's hard for us to relate to this because random forced labor is actually illegal in the United States. We just don't have that. You can't really do that according to our Constitution. I mean, there's a few examples of how the government, you know, April 15th, they make you go through days and days of work that seems unnecessary. But for the most part, they can't do this. However, on the other hand, I think we've all experienced something like this. It happens really every time anybody does something that costs you 40 minutes of your time, right? People commandeer your time every day, don't they? Think about a high-pressure salesman who shows up at your door, calls you on the phone, and commandeers a little bit of your time. Or someone at work is careless, makes a mess that you have to clean up. Or some needy person you know calls you on the phone and talks for 40 minutes, right, when you were trying to relax and unwind. Or your spouse requires some time from you, or your kids. There's no end to the people waiting in line to commandeer your time, right? Happens all the time. And to commandeer your personal freedom. We tend to want to take Jesus' example and just keep it back in the first century where it belongs. A soldier, you know, that we can live with. We can think, you know, we think, oh man, if I were a Jew back then, some Roman soldier came up, told me, conscripted me to carry his pack for a mile, I would volunteer to go the extra mile. No problem. I can walk 2 miles. I'd do it with a smile on my face. But then we resent having to walk down to the park with our kids. That we can't find time for. I mean, who are we kidding? Jesus is not giving us just a mere behavioral procedure here. He's teaching us an attitude that should mark the way we live our lives. You see that? And it's an attitude of generosity. It's an attitude of kindness towards those who take from us.
People make demands on you all day long, and some don't bother you at all. Others do. What kind of taker do you find it hardest to respond to with a generous attitude? And secondly, do you secretly resent any of your own acts of generosity? Time spent with your spouse or children, or any other instance of going the extra mile? Do you do those things with a stingy internal attitude or a generous one? Search your heart.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.